We're gonna take some more looks at confession just so we thoroughly cover it. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 8.
The man said, "How ill-prepared you can be for death. I knew Ronnie was dying, and Gary just tells me, and it's like I came out of the blue. It doesn't make any sense."
Yeah, I've spent, well, Larry has too, but we've spent so much time with him that it's, you know, it's I don't know how to say it. It's like I was prepared for it, and, you know, so that.
I was prepared too, but I had an amazing missing feeling. I'd never had that, but I missed him as soon as he died.
Yeah, I didn't have that.
Even in his
creepy state,
living state, he was still there, and the spirit was there. Right? But then when he went, it was like, oh my gosh.
Well, I guess I went through that the last time I visited there. I mean,
yeah.
I had plenty of time
to pre-mourn.
Yeah, I
only hugged him, prayed for him.
Well, I said, yeah, several times.
Yeah.
But this time I was with him. I started crying. And,
yeah.
It was just weird because I didn't really like him. You know, I loved him, but I didn't like him.
Yeah. We know.
Huh?
We know.
You know that?
We intuit.
All right. Oh, I lost some tape. That's all right. 1 Kings chapter 8. Now, most of chapter 8, or much of it anyway,
it's a long chapter.
Yeah, the first part of it is the ark is brought into the temple, which is an incredible ceremony. And then the next part of it is the dedication of the temple. And then the next part of it is Solomon's prayer. And the reason this is so critical is it's because we each must understand that simply was a type. And it was a type for you now as a temple. So the temple is dedicated when you mean and say from the heart, "I am yours without condition. Throw me in the pits of hell, I'll love you anyway." Whatever there's no add-on, I'm yours. That's the dedication of the temple.
Is it tied in with baptism too?
Huh?
Baptism?
Yeah, well, that certifies it.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm not going to read the whole, well, that's the part, maybe we will. Well, let's read it. Let's read the prayer. Let's start in verse 22. "When Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands toward heaven, and he said, 'Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on the earth beneath, who keep his covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart, who has kept with thy servant David my father that thou promised him. Thou spakest also with thy mouth and hast fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day. Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father that thou promised him, saying, There shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that the children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me." Now, this is critical because there are several promises in the Bible that says the sun and the moon and the stars shall fade, but there shall never be a time in which, there shall not fail a man to sit on the throne of Israel. Now, this is critical because that promise is kept. It was kept on I mean, it's now he is on the throne, and we are the temple, and we are the true Israel. The Israel of remember when we do the Lido Sardi, the Israel as a nation was a type of the church. But now, just as in time after time after time in Israel, there was renewal, but slowly but surely they went back into their old ways, so with us. That's why repentance and the preaching of the cross must be constant, because we always tend to move back to our own, leaning on our own arm of understanding about everything. Anyway, in verse 26, "And now, God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou spake unto thy servant David and my father. But will God indeed dwell on earth, on the earth? Behold, the heavens and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have builded. Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant, and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today, that thine eyes may be opened toward this house night and day, even toward the place which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place." Now you got to hear this as though you're praying it, and it's you that he's asked, you're asking that he not fail. Well, anyway, go on. You get the picture. "And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel, when they shall pray toward this place, and hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, when thou hearest, forgive. If any man trespass against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to cause him to swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and do and judge thy servant, condemning the wicked one, really, to bring his way upon his head, and justify the righteous, to give him according to his righteousness. When thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee, and confess thy name, and prayer, and pray, and make supplication unto thee in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again into the land which thou gavest unto their fathers." So again, it's that, here it's the word confess, and he's saying, confess what? That they confess thy name. And again, this word, it's yadad in Hebrew, and homologio in Greek. It means the confession of sin, and it's also the confession of, or profession of faith.
Yeah, that seems to be in this one verse the same.
Yeah.
Same thing, just like we talked about.
You can't really profess him or confess him without professing and confessing your own sin. It's impossible. I mean, I do it by rote, but by what is the kind of thing. I mean, it's not, these aren't how-tos, this is a what is. All right, now go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. This is the Chronicles version, and let's read this, starting verse 1.
Which one?
Check in Chronicles 7. This is, again, it goes back to the in again, the ark is brought into the temple in chapter 5. Solomon blesses the people in chapter 6. The prayer of the dedication is also in 6. And then this, now it's the glory of the Lord. Anyway, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. Remember, there were jillions of sacrifices that day. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. Now, you have to hear this. When the glory of the Lord fills you, you can't be there. If you're there, the glory won't fill it. Do you understand? It's his humility again. Wherever you are, he isn't. That's why prayer is so important. It's emptying. It's just making whatever is an issue available, I mean, known, and then emptying. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, the glory of the Lord upon the house, or the temple, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God, and the priests waited on their office. And the Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever. When David promised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Moreover, Solomon hollowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord. That must mean before the Holy of Holies. For there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offering, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat. Also at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great congregation, from the entering in of Hamath unto the river of Egypt. And in the 8th day, they made a solemn assembly, for they kept that dedication of the altar 7 days, and the feast 7 days. And on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart, for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel his people. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house, he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, "I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place." Now you hear this. See, this is critical. This is what you have to see and hear. You have to hear as if you are the temple of the Lord. "And have chosen this place for myself for a house of sacrifice." That's what we are. We're a house of sacrifice. That's why we die daily. "If I shut up the heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence upon my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways," or their, it really says, "from their ways which are wicked, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." Now, do you see the majesty of knowing that you are the temple of the Lord? But you can't be there, though. You can't be in the temple. When you are, the Lord leaves. Or empties. I mean, he goes in. You put him in prison in the metaphor. In the lowest temple, in the lowest parts of the temple, he's in prison. That's why the cross takes you out of the picture. I wish I could have heard Jesus' teaching on all this. Anyway.
Let me talk about this a second. It's like, if the Lord fills the temple, it's not like running you out so he can fill the temple. There has to be some...
No, yes it is.
There has to be some point of oneness with God.
You're not one, you're dead.
In that death, you are one with God.
No, Jesus in you is one with God.
Play semantics, if you will.
It's not semantics.
It is semantics because you are in Christ, we're dead in him. I don't disagree with that. But there's some place where the way it sounds is you got to get out so God can get in. So now it's his temple and you don't have anything to do with it. But there is you're a partaker of his righteousness in Christ with him in the temple.
But you're dead. You are crucified.
So then you are eliminated.
Right. You've never been there. That's the whole point. You've always been a vessel for deity. What you thought was you was really the evil one masquerading as you, inventing you, creating you.
In John 14, the Lord's Prayer is real clear about all this. You are one with him.
Because he's your life.
He doesn't eliminate you. The mystery is, how can this be to be one with Christ in God? And what is that?
That's the real you. The real you is not Gary. Never has been. You walked according to the prince of the power of the air before conversion. That means you were of the evil one. Okay. There was never you. It was always the evil one masquerading as you. Now the evil one dies. And Christ is now the inhabitant of the temple, no longer the evil one. And you're, because he took you to the cross.
Well, the language in John 14 is a little different than what we're saying right now.
Well, let's go to Galatians 2. I mean, it's clear. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And all of the Bible is to that Christ. That's what it's about.
We'll read the next one.
And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God.
Okay.
That's because it's the faith, his faith. That's right. Him living.
Live by the faith of.
But yet not I.
Yet not I, Gary.
So it's a mystery. Don't Gary me. It's a mystery. And what we're saying back here is not the fullness of the mystery.
Not by what you're saying it isn't.
No, it's not. But I don't think what I'm saying is incorrect.
It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I that liveth. You're gone.
Okay, but so take nevertheless I live out.
That's him. He's living because he's just defined that you're dead. So now he is your only life.
Okay.
There's no Gary.
Wait a minute. Your only life.
He is you. He is again, it's I don't want to go through this again, but it's the issue that's it comes up constantly.
Well, it's fundamental.
Right. And there is a massive disagreement in this issue between you and I. It's not semantics.
Okay.
And that's why I think we need to meet with the elders.
Well, let's do it Friday.
Whenever you want to.
Well, you're the one called it, but all said...
No, you called it first.
No, that's not true, and you know it. I've already talked to you about this.
My memory says you did,
really,
but it doesn't matter.
That's a stupid point.
All right.
We can do that.
Take it, big guy.